This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, last week we started out by talking about our mindset, the latest buzzword topic in education, and with the motivational speaker set. You know, you see all these lectures advertised on TV where they're saying, you know, come hear the secrets of this and the keys to that, you know, this other thing. Well, in education and also in the business world, this mindset thing is taking root. In her book, Mindset, education professor Carol Dweck describes the impact the two major mindsets have on our lifestyle, attitude, and levels of achievement. Deeper into the book, Dweck talks about some other things where she talks about people who were actually wrestling with the issue of whether or not they really could become smarter. Now, looking at our bulletin cover, let's again go over the letters and what they represent. Or if you just want to look up on the screen and if you can read some of that print, we can do it from there. The M is for mistakes and learning from them. The I means I can improve by working hard. People with the fixed mindset don't like that one because it involves having to change something. The N is, I will never give up. The D stands for determined, as in, I am determined to do my best. The next one is tricky because we can go too far into the self-reflection issue and get into the place where we think about ourselves all the time. Now, that part of it's bad. But the good part of it is that we can self-reflect and think about succeeding. That's the part of the self-reflection that goes back and says, well, I could have done this other thing a little better. Well, what could I have done or what could I have changed that would have made that work out a little better? The E is for effort, like I can overcome challenges with effort. And the last one is key because what this set of ideas tells us is that we can actually improve. We can actually get smarter, believe it or not. We can grow inside and become strong the right way. It's I can train my brain. As we pointed out last week, this last one fits Romans 12, chapter 2, where Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's something that we didn't mention about this verse last week. If you know anything about English grammar or remember anything from English grammar in school, you will see that Romans 12:2 is what's called the passive voice. Does everybody know the difference there? The passive voice is where the subject is being acted upon. There's active voice where the subject is doing the acting. And passive voice is where the subject is being acted upon. That means we're to let God do the acting to transform us. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This implies that we're allowing God to do the transforming because we, according to Paul in this verse, are being acted upon. That's a very key difference. We're letting God do it. Or, as Gary often likes to say, we're getting out of God's way and letting God do the work, which is all the time what we need to do, is get out of God's way and let Him do His thing. He's a lot better at being God than we are. Would you all agree with that? Yes. Yes. Good. Okay. This, my friends, is the biblical way to have our minds renewed. This is also how we have the Lord fit us for the growth mindset. God is in the business of renewing us. When we put our faith in Christ, He begins a transformational process. Now here's the warning which we already hinted at earlier. We can get so wrapped up in all of this area of thought, or mindset, if you will, that we become really self-centered. You all can readily see the danger here in all of this, where it's, I can do this, I can do this. And I mentioned at the end of the last school year when I did some substituting back at the public schools, where all of the little songs that the kindergartners and the first graders were singing were about how wonderful I am. Oh, I am great. I'm fine the way I am. And we can get stuck in that. And some people, as we know, never leave that mindset. But there is a Jesus side to this. And the school of thought here that can work for followers of Christ is when we put our ability to accomplish all of those things in the Lord's hands and center the effort on giving the Lord the glory for any of the changes that we start to see in our own lives. In other words, we rely on His power for the actions that will renew and transform us. Now, here's how it's worked before. Some research has showed us how these two mindsets work in real life. Dweck did a study with some four-year-olds. She observed that as soon as the four-year-old is able to think about his or her own actions, some become afraid of challenges. They became afraid of showing that they weren't smart. In her research, she worked with those four-year-olds doing jigsaw puzzles. They could redo an easy jigsaw puzzle, or they could try a harder one. She was amazed at the number of children who showed a fixed mindset by wanting to simply go back and rework the simple puzzle that they had already completed. Those are the kids who said, smart kids are born smart, and they don't make mistakes. Then there were the little four-year-olds who were already showing a growth mindset. They believed they could get smarter and thought about being asked and turned it down when they were asked to redo the puzzle because they asked for a harder one, because they wanted to accept the challenge of going and moving on and working a harder puzzle. And some of those four-year-olds that were in this growth mindset that wanted to work the harder puzzle were almost offended if they were asked if they wanted to go back and redo the simpler puzzle. They said, I've already done that. Why do I want to do that one again? Give me another one. They chose the harder puzzle. And one kid says, I'm dying to figure them out. That's the four-year-old you want in your class, actually. Now, a seventh grade student said, part of the same study but doing other things, I think intelligence is something you have to work for. It just isn't given to you. Most kids, if they're not sure of an answer, will not raise their hand to answer the question. But what I usually do is raise my hand, because if I'm wrong, then my mistake will be corrected. Or I'll raise my hand and say, how would this be solved? Or, I don't get this. Can you help me? Just by doing that, I'm increasing my intelligence. Bingo for this seventh grade kid. Pushing herself to work harder, to move on, and to go on to the next level. Not being content to stay where this kid was. That's what growing in faith is. You're not content to rest on any spiritual accomplishments that the Lord has privileged you to make. You're ready for another challenge. You want to move on. You want that next level to grow and to increase. Now, the Bible's answer for all of this is, and this is again is back in your outline, let me tell you, the Word of God has something to say about growth. We've already talked about being transformed by renewing your minds, but let's turn to Psalm 119, 97 to 104. And did you know, by looking at it in your own Bible, that Psalm 119 is divided by the letters of the Hebrew alphabet? This section, Psalm 119, 97 to 104, is under the letter Mim, which I think is kind of cool. It has no relationship to anything spiritual, except that I'm looking at this and saying Mim, And that's the first syllable in the word memory, which I thought was interesting. Although, again, this is my own invention of this. But it's in that section because memory somehow relates to our topic for today, doesn't it? Being able to think and remember things, okay? Let's read Psalm 119:97-104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are continually with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the elders, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to the taste of my mouth, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I receive understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. What's the point of all of this? Well, let's look at the verses and see. In verse 97, the psalmist is praying, and he tells the Lord that he loves the law of the Lord. He gets joy in it. And yes, the psalmist is speaking specifically about the law, the Torah, first five books of the Bible. But this represents still the Word of God. This man loves the Word. He tells the Lord that the Word of God is on his mind all the time. More specifically, it's his meditation. He's thinking about it. He's pondering it. He's going over how the Lord's law interacts and intersects with his life. By the Word being his meditation, he's contemplating how to have the Word of God pierce down to the depths of his being and change any ungodly thing in him. Next, we get to one of the deeper lines in this section. Verse 98 tells us that the Lord's commandments have made him wiser than his enemies. This is awesomely cool if you think about it. God's word has given him insight into the things he should and should not be doing. God's word has sharpened and quickened his mind so that his personal judgment, not judgment as in condemnation, but discernment, his discernment and choices are sharper than they were before. He has clarity of thought and can make good, sound, rational, wise choices. There's an element of this that says he can think on his feet and catch on quickly to what's happening where he is. In other words, the Word of God has sharpened his mind so he can think straight when the time comes. This is something we all need to be able to do. Verse 99 tells us that he has more understanding than all his teachers. And again, that meditating on the Word was the key to this increase in intellectual power. The psalmist may be sounding boastful here in verse 100, but he goes on to say that he even understands more than his elders. His reason, again, is because he's living the Word of God. The Word of God does that much to your brains. It actually does bring order to your thoughts and sifts through all of the rubble and brings something out, something organized out of the chaos and fits all the pieces together. Here's the wild part of this, if that wasn't wild enough for you. In an article on Christ Audio, a site about science and Christianity, Jeff Ordonez cited a study done on brain waves and faith. Yes, people have actually been studying this. He wrote from the perspective of Paul's exhortation in Romans 12:2. but we can easily bring these verses in Psalm 119 into the picture. These passages imply that our brain can be molded and shaped by our actions. Scientists have a word for this, and it's called, long word, neuroplasticity. That big word simply says that we can form and reorganize the neurological connections in the brain. This reorganization occurs in response to learning through listening, reading, and thinking. Thinking. That's a good thing, by the way. Check it out. Reading and thinking are on his short list. This means that reading and meditating, thinking about the Word of God, are important parts to this process of shaping your brain. Prior to the concept's adoption, the scientific community widely accepted the notion that the brain was just a mass of gray matter. How many of you all have heard the brain referred to as that gray matter between your ears? But now, it's being thought of as actually being active, that it might actually be more of a muscle or something like that than just gray stuff taking up space in your cranium. Here's the clincher. The assumption that our brains were simply gray matter changed in 1960 when Marion Diamond of the University of California, Berkeley, which means they actually do something useful every now and then, produced the first scientific anatomical evidence of brain plasticity. Science now concedes the biblical concept that the mind can renew at will and develop high potential. In other words, the T, you can actually train your brain. We can apply another passage by Paul to this, and it's Philippians 4:8, where Paul wrote, "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. Do those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." In other words, Paul says one of the most formative things you can do to ensure that your spirit and your mind, your brain, develops properly and can be improved is to start thinking and concentrating on the good things that you know about and not dwelling on all of the bad things. How many of us have ever known someone who could find the cloud to every silver lining? Whatever you told them, they found something bad about it. You win $1 million, they say, "Oh, yeah, you could have won more than that." There are the people who can find something bad about anything. Don't do that. Don't dwell on that. And think on the good things that you know. Find something good about every circumstance and concentrate on that. That's going to do more for your brainwave development in that neuroplasticity than thinking about all of the disasters. Get your mind off of those things and think on, according to Paul's words, the good that you can find wherever you are in whatever you are doing. Is that making sense? Okay. Now, it sounds like Paul is affirming the reality that when we do, as the psalmist proclaims, meditate on the Word of God, which is, you can't think of anything better to think about than that, God will be with us. God will be working inside each of us to shape our minds and rebuild our thought processes. This means absorb the Word of God and you're going to get smarter. Simply put, bottom line. That doesn't mean I'm ending the sermon here, though. We know that putting our heart into this is a major part simply because Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Check this out. Study to show yourself approved of God. Study. Really? Study? Oh, wow. What a ridiculously radical concept. Study the word. Yeah, that's what that means. That's exactly what Paul was telling Timothy. Study to show yourself approved. That doesn't mean you have to work for God's approval. What it does mean is that you are going to live in a greater level of blessing if you spend more time putting your time into studying and meditating on God's word. Paul is kind of dovetailing basically what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. Hey, I know more than all my elders because I meditate on your word. How about that? God's word is true, and since it's true, let's all put it to the test. Meditate on the word of God and see how sharper your thoughts begin to become over the next few weeks. That's a challenge. Spend some time meditating on God's word and see how much sharper your thoughts can become, how much clearer and how much more accurate your reasoning power becomes. Now, the bottom line, though, is this. As we said earlier, all of our effort, time, and energy will be wasted unless we do all of this meditating and studying through the Holy Spirit's power. That's the clincher to this. Don't try to do it on your own strength. Bring the Holy Spirit into this. How do we know that we're to do this through the Holy Spirit? In John 14, 26, Jesus is speaking with his disciples, and he said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Holy Spirit will teach us. So we work towards the growth mindset and getting smarter by doing what the psalmist taught us, by focusing and meditating on the Word of God. However, all of this meditating is done through the Holy Spirit's power. In other words, God, give me your Holy Spirit so that when I study, the Spirit can work in me and uncloud my mind. So you're turning this over to the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's keep in mind that Jesus promised us that the Father would send us the Holy Spirit if we ask Him. David Platt, in his book Radical, told us not to think this is like the genie in the bottle approach. You know, it's magically all going to work out. Rub the bottle, the Holy Spirit shows up, and bang, you know, everything's fine. We're not asking for three wishes, and one of those is to receive the Holy Spirit. We ask the Father boldly for the presence of His Holy Spirit in our lives, and we do it on our knees, figuratively speaking, in prayer. Go to the Lord and ask, "Lord, send me your Holy Spirit." If we're trying to do this process and get smarter by using the methods put forward by our culture, and even by some of the wording in the acrostic we're looking at there, a lot of our own effort and our own power, we're going to fall flat on our faces. If you try to do it all on your own strength, you're going to give out. And you're going to burn yourself out and get frustrated and say, forget it. We can only do this effectively by doing it God's way. Instead of asserting ourselves, as Platt wrote, we crucify ourselves. Instead of believing that we can improve ourselves by our own effort, we ask the Lord to do for us what He can accomplish in and through us. Instead of depending on ourselves and getting worn out by spending all of our time trying to accomplish something great for Him on our own strength, we do, as Platt said, and express a radical level of desperation for seeing His results in all that we do. We cry out to Him for a newly found passion for Christ's work in our lives. We go to the Lord and we ask Him, "Lord, send me your Holy Spirit so I can do those things that I believe you want me to do, so that I can get sharper and smarter and a more useful servant for your kingdom." And to wrap up, we ask Him to teach us to learn from our mistakes. If you make a mistake and don't learn anything from it, it was time wasted. But if you make a mistake and ask the Lord to show you what you did wrong so you can learn from it, you're going to grow. We ask Him for His strength to work hard, to never give up on us, and for His power to be determined to overcome. It's got to be His power. It has to be His power. We ask Him to empower us so that as we meditate on His Word, that those reflections we ponder are by His Spirit revealing His truth to us and in us. We ask Him for His power to put effort into the study process. Then most of all, we ask our perfect teacher, the Holy Spirit, to train our brains to learn His truth, His way, to grow in grace and to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And if we do that, if we put our faith and trust in Him, this isn't going to become another 12-step process. This isn't going to become another one of these four steps to better living. This isn't one of those think and grow rich schemes. This will become something divinely instituted in our minds. It will be the Holy Spirit working in us. It will be His Spirit giving us the power to be His servant 24/7. We'll sharpen our minds, really. I have actually seen people with my own eyes who apparently were able to raise their IQ scores because they started meditating on the Word of God. God gave them the clarity to unscramble the brain. And they were able then to diligently start working and studying and reason and think, and to think with clarity. I've seen it. So what I'm teaching you is fact. Discernible truth, where I can promise you it really works, because I've seen it work. Then, so this isn't just another self-serving, self-centered effort. We ask for the Holy Spirit's power to use us for the Lord's glory, because we are His. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.